And welcome back once again to the Endurance Hour podcast. This is episode 245 alongside Wendy Mader. I'm Dave Erickson. We are focusing on one topic, one question today. But before we get to that, we want to read some feedback and comments from some of our listeners and followers, beginning with Scott. Wendy?
Yeah, this is from Scott, and he's actually been purchasing our training plans that we offer on Training Peaks. And I know he's followed other coaches' training plans, so I really appreciated his feedback. He said, "Your training plans are hands down the best I've ever used. One thing is that how easy they are to modify. This is big when you're working 45 to 50 hours a week and having two young kids. Sometimes I don't have more than 45 to 60 minutes on a weekday, and I can easily modify the workout to fit my available time."
So what does he mean by modifying his workouts? Because they're based on Training Peaks, the Training Peaks interface.
Right. So all our training plans on Training Peaks are based on an athlete doing a series of fitness tests, and they can train according to their heart rate training zones, pace zones, power, or rate of perceived effort. So it's not only, it really is a program that can fit any level because you're using your own zones, not someone else's zones. And then this particular program that he was referring to, I have optional workouts. So certain days of the week may have workout one, that's a key workout, workout two, that's optional. So obviously an athlete's going to want to do the key workout. And if they don't have time, they can just kind of skip the optional workout. And every week, you know, we kind of describe the upcoming week. So we kind of discuss and help educate the athlete about how to best modify the plan to fit their schedule.
And when Wendy says we describe that in video form, not in text, because our Training Peaks programs, I think most exclusively all of them, have a video element to them, whether it's a new video before every training block or before every week of training. Could be swimming, cycling, running, or triathlon. So it goes beyond just the text version. There's some video elements there.
Right. And I think that's another thing he appreciates is he's listening to us. He's seeing us. We're kind of on his journey with him.
Yeah. If you're interested in getting a discount on some of our training plans on Training Peaks, if you go to endurancehour.com/33%, you can get 33% off any program for life and multiple times by getting the code that we give to you and use it and apply it to the cart on trainingpeaks.com. I got a follow-up feedback as well, Wendy, and this is here, says, "You had mentioned that you were going to start doing short podcasts." This is referring to 2018, "in addition to the longer ones. I like that idea." This is from Jerry, by the way. "The shorter ones are good because sometimes people want to listen, but don't quite find the time. The questions answered are great. Will you do a few strictly on education-based without a question, something that maybe isn't common knowledge that you have seen, read, or learned as a more seasoned triathlete? I like those types of things. It's still great to reinforce the basics in my forgetful mind. I was just curious." Now, you know who Jerry is.
I do know who Jerry is.
So education-based.
I really appreciate it. That is great feedback because, you know, one thing we weren't sure, we're like, well, you know, we are an Endurance Hour podcast. We have gotten feedback of how athletes enjoy listening to our podcast when they have like an hour or plus workout. So we will still continue to do the longer podcasts. But it's good to know that some of our listeners out there do appreciate a variety of formats.
And one of the reasons why we chose this for 2018, we've been doing this for 6 years. I started this in 2012, is that Wendy mentioned that she'll go and listen to a podcast, but she'll want to focus on one topic discussed within that podcast and she has to sit through it or try to find it in the hour, an hour and a half long show. So we're making these a little more digestible for some of your commutes. So if you want to just listen to something like what we're talking today about propulsion with your legs and swimming, now you know what you're listening to. So that's kind of why we're doing this. But yes, there will be some longer podcasts in the future.
You know, and I also think, and this is something I've done, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I've gone back at certain podcasts and I've listened to what they've said in 2016, 2017. So for our listeners who are new, they can, they're, you know, go back to previous Endurance Hour podcasts and listen, you know, kind of catch up with the longer versions of what we've done in the past.
Right. One more feedback, and this again is from Scott, but it was on the T2 Endurance Club Facebook page.
So this was regarding, I believe it was episode 243 or 244, when we talked about coming back after being sick. Mm-hmm. And he writes, great podcast. I especially like the segment on when to start training after being sick. This is my first week back after missing 12 days due to the flu, followed by a severe sinus infection. This podcast reaffirmed what I thought about resting and easing back into training. Thank you both. Mm.
So true, Scott. I've been dealing with a sickness for the last 2.5 weeks or so because of the whole flu epidemic across the U.S. And I'm still struggling with mine, but it's almost over and I'm easing back into my training as well. So thank you for your feedback.
Yeah, I still have athletes that I currently coach mm-hmm. who've been sick for like a month.
Yeah, it's rough.
And it's been definitely a rough year, this winter roughness.
Two big things, sleep and hydration is the two things I would pass on to you. Today's question is brought to you by How to Swim Faster in 30 Days, a freestyle guide to dropping time in the pool or open water. This multimedia training plan includes 42 instructional swim lesson videos and demonstrations above and below the water, plus a detailed 30-day calendar designed to help you swim faster and more efficiently than ever before. All right, here's our topic for today. So this is from Yunaid Faison. This is from our Endurance Hour YouTube channel. And you can find in our show notes links to this YouTube channel. It says here that I am unable to make a leg movement for forward propulsion. So he's unable to move forward based on leg propulsion only. So what are your suggestions on how to go, I guess, faster or forward with leg kicks?
Right. And just to remind everyone, this is based on the freestyle swim stroke. So to start off, I've been teaching kids and adults for most of my life, adults probably since 2000. So for at least adults, the last 18 years. When it comes to providing propulsion with your freestyle kick, you need to be kicking from the quad and hip flexor. Mm. Most people, if you're someone who is on their kickboard and you're staying in place or you even move backwards, that could be really frustrating. You're kicking so hard, you're using all this muscle, your heart rate's going up, you're exhausted, and you don't go anywhere. Usually, probably, maybe even 100% of the time, it's because you're kicking from the knee down as well as you have inflexible ankles. So you want to make sure you use that quad and hip flexor. One thing I'd recommend is putting on a pair of swim fins because that forces you to point your toe. So if you have inflexible ankles, you may be flexing your foot versus pointing your toe, you're flexing it. And so putting on a pair of swim fins will allow you to keep that toe pointed. It'll allow you to get some ankle movement, ankle flexibility, and it kind of forces you to use your quad and hip flexor. So you got to really be mindful and get a sense of what's going on with the fins. You're using that as like a drill, and then you take the fins off and try to mimic that same movement. I've also been successful with doing on-deck coaching with telling adults to pretend they're riding a bike. Mm. And so when you're in the pool on that kickboard, if you pretend you're riding your bike, the first thing you do is bend your knee or bring your knee into your chest. And even though you don't really want to be kicking like that, it does help you get an exaggerated engagement of that quad and hip flexor, and you may start moving forward a little bit.
Now, the drills you're talking about are using fins. Is this something you do as your warm-up to your workout, or is this kind of the workout itself?
It just depends where the athlete is. I mean, if it's someone who's really just getting in the water for the first time, really learning how to kick is one of the first things, learning how to breathe and kick is one of the first things you want to learn as you're learning the freestyle stroke. So when you're learning, you're actually not necessarily doing a workout. You're just trying to get comfortable in the water. Mm-hmm. And so this is a skill, depending on the level you're at, the breathing and the kick is the skills you want to develop first before you move on to learning the three main phases of the freestyle swim stroke.
Now, when I've done this in the past, if you haven't done this before using fins, you can be pretty sore after the fact in your ankles, in your hips, and you're breathing pretty hard. You're suggesting people ease into it, and is there a fin length that you would suggest?
I think generally I would do probably down and back, or maybe just down. It really, it's just going to depend on how your speed and how able you're able to get it. Mm-hmm. But when you go down and back, so generally 50 meters or 50 yards, then you take the fins off and maybe you're going to go try to go a half a length down and a half a length back without the fins. Mm-hmm. And then if you're still, you know, you're probably still going to be struggling initially. You're close by your fins and you're able to kind of put those fins back on. So it just really depends. It just really depends on how quickly you pick it up. I know some athletes, as soon as they put those fins on and they feel it and they get it and they have a really good, connection, body awareness in the water, they're able to pick up on it pretty quickly. While other athletes I've worked with in the past, it could take weeks for them to really kind of master that kick. And a lot of times if it's a run, or if you're a runner and you've got a lot of running background, that leads to probably the worst flexible ankles. And that, you know, runners are really, struggle more with learning how to swim because of those inflexible ankles. And there's various stretches and things you could do to help with ankle flexibility besides, you know, putting fins on and trying to do it on the water.
And how hard are you suggesting people go? I mean, I'm thinking just take it easy, get used to that range of motion of your ankles.
Definitely take it easy and get used to it. And moving forward with it, you know, once you kind of master this propulsion with your legs, I'm going to say you don't want to use it when you really get down into swimming and swimming in a triathlon. You really don't want to use your legs that much for propulsion. The legs are just going to be there to help balance out your stroke and provide just minimal propulsion. You know, you really want to learn, at least in my mind, a technique that you're going to use your upper body, your lats, your rear deltoids and your triceps, use your upper body to propel you through the water, not just your legs. But the kick is important for body balance and coordination.
Keeping your body higher in the water to avoid your hips dropping. Right.
Right. So, and on that note, just to expand on this question, most people who don't have forward propulsion probably have sinking legs. Mm-hmm. So the same idea happens with those struggling with sinking legs is trying to use your quads and hip flexors and flexible ankles to get your legs on top of the water. And then there's other things moving forward. Once you master that, well, then there's other things you could do to prevent your legs from sinking, like tucking your chin, putting the weight of your body on your sternum, and working on hand entry.
Now, I've seen different lengths of the fins past your toes. I've seen some pretty short ones, little stubby fins, and I've also seen some longer ones. Pros and cons of each?
They're going to be used for different reasons. I think I would always recommend what's called zoomers, which are the short ones, or the intermediate ones. The long ones are good. I'm going to say the long ones aren't going to provide the flexibility in your ankle, but the long ones are really going to help you with the quad and hip flexor musculature that you're going to use. So it probably, again, going back to my answer, the intermediate ones are probably the ones to use because you're going to get the benefits of the short ones and the long ones.
Okay. Now, we discussed this, and this is kind of a little bit of a plug, but also a helpful tip for someone. We have this program called How to Swim Faster in 30 Days, which includes over 40 different videos above and below water, and you have some demonstrations on the proper kicking technique, and you give examples of poor and proper technique, and I think this would be helpful for someone who's maybe having issues with body balance in the water.
Yeah, I think it's very helpful. I think for most people learning how to swim or kind of mastering their current technique, it's a very visual, Like myself as an instructor, sometimes I have to do a video of myself in my office to explain what I mean. It's hard to teach swimming on email. It's more difficult to teach swimming over text. So, but when I'm demonstrating with my camera and sending it to a certain athlete, they get it a little bit better. The best way is to watch me swimming, and therefore we provide this program so you can actually see me in the water doing it. That's better than doing it on land and demonstrating.
I will put a link in our show notes on endurancehour.com/episode245 for anyone who's interested in this topic with the How to Swim Faster in 30 Days. Plus, we offer up a free swim form analysis that Wendy and I put together. The first one's free, And it, all it takes is basically you're going to have someone record you with their smartphone, and you'll send that clip to us, and then Wendy will evaluate it and do a recording of what she sees, and then we'll edit it and send it back to you. So that all will be in the show notes, endurancehour.com/episode245. And that's going to wrap up this episode of the podcast, episode 245. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned and subscribe on iTunes. We'll be back with another episode coming up here in a few days. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks, Dave.